Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jodine, who is here to talk with us about her journey towards coming to be a visiting monk. Welcome, Jodine.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah. So I understand that you've had some fun insights about how you can use practice to support yourself as you prepare to come to be a visiting monk.
Yes, I sure have. I think I had some guidance that led to the idea of coming as a visiting monk in September, and pretty much the retreat started then.
Yeah, I was thinking about that before we talked today, but that is really the truth. I mean, we've heard it from other visiting monks too, but that place where truly the once you decide to do it, but it's even before that, isn't it? It's when it drops in or when the guidance arrives. That's when the retreat begins.
Yeah. So I'm slated to arrive in October of this year. And what's been going on is, first of all, in order to make it work in my life, I had to save up all of my vacation time for an entire year to amass the vacation time I needed. Now I came as a visiting monk when it was a different name, under a different name. I realized like about 7 years ago now. And I had a different boss, and he let me take the time off, like unpaid, like as much as I wanted. And that was a huge blessing because now policies have changed, and I had to kind of like be in a lottery for the vacation time off and stuff. And so anyhow, I used almost every day that I had extra to do it. And I realized after, you know, I signed up, and I realized that I would then be missing out on a practice opportunity that I'm so fortunate to have, which is to be frequently at the monastery in person for shorter stays.
Yeah, so being not so far away, you know, not in another state, you're in the vicinity anyway, that normally you'd be able to come and spend shorter times, and then realizing, uh-oh, this is going to have an impact on that.
Yeah, and so it was like, whoa, I'm going to need, you know, new kinds of supports. And of course, you know, there was a conversation about, whoa, it's going to be this big hardship. You know, but then I realized, like, come on, you know, people participate in our practice who live in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, who live in Europe. I certainly won't have to miss out on practice. It's just going to look like a little bit different. And so what I decided was I would just like. Okay, and so that was that piece, and then I was on the New Year's retreat as well. That was the last time I could have like time off before the actual October. I felt like this huge kind of creative practice engine was going on at that retreat. And for me, when I got home from it, I put together all these little phrases and stuff from the retreat, and I've been putting them on the light switches in my house.
So turning on the light. Love it.
Yeah, I call them enlightened switch. The enlightened switch instead of light switch. So anyhow, my favorite one is, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all in. Nothing left over for ego. Nothing left over for the conversation.
Yes. Yeah. And so I just thought, okay, like, what if I just participated in every distance learning, opportunity that the monastery has between now and the retreat? Like, how incredible would it be to just plug in and and arrive at the retreat after 10 months of that?
Go ahead.
And I just wanted to say, like, that's always been available to me, but it didn't. But it dropped in,
Which is that's the most fun, isn't it? Is when something that seems obvious once you see it. I mean, it's what we say all the time. Wow. But that process of having it drop in as an insight is just so much fun. And what you're describing is such a perfect illustration of seeing through the bamboozles, right? So first of all, you get the guidance. You might want to consider coming to be a visiting monk. You go through with it. You rearrange all of these things, right? I mean, it wasn't straightforward. There were all these things that had to happen, line up to do that. And then as you do that, you realize, that's going to have some consequences in this other form of practice. But instead of sort of, sticking there where we could get sidetracked into a whole conversation around that, then there's just, I project, being present with that. And when you're present with that, what drops in is, wow, I could take this in a whole other direction of availing myself in the way that someone who's in, Europe or far from the monastery, how they might be able to practice. And what if I immersed myself in every far-flung practice opportunity there was, not only because I'm not going to be able to go to the monastery for these short stays, but also, as you say, what an extraordinary thing to arrive at the monastery having had that experience for the whole year so far. Wow.
Yeah. So another phrase I want to mention from the retreat was deep dive.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Came up a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, what would a deep dive into practice look like? Mm-hmm. And basically, since January, when all this kind of percolated, mm-hmm. I've been participating in reflective listening buddies.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing Zen awareness coaching.
Uh-huh.
I did the conscious compassionate action coaching, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I participate in virtual meditation groups. Wow. And I went ahead and did the recording and listening group coaching. And there's a great example of something that, conditioning would have said, like, oh, come on.
Right. I already know. I know everything there is to know about recording and listening.
Exactly. And it is so amazing. If you haven't done it, you really, really do it.
Highly recommend it. Uh-huh.
Highly recommended. I am signed up for the year-long retreat.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm also looking at, with my coach, I've been looking at, Center is now open in Mountain View.
Right.
It's much closer to me than the monastery. Mm-hmm. But I've had a lot of resistance to, or at least some resistance to going to events there.
Mm-hmm.
And so my coach and I are kind of looking at that, even though that would be an in-person opportunity, and I was... Mm-hmm. I was looking at the distance opportunities definitely I think I need to look at, what's really stopping me from jumping in there and having some more Sangha, experiences there. So
which again is such a great part of the of what it is to always be looking, right? Because there could be that place of, well, no, I mean, what I decided is that I'm going to do all the far-flung things, and that's not a far-flung thing. And, I mean, I don't know what form the resistance takes, but whatever, too much traffic or, you know, it's nighttime or whatever, you know, it's got going on about all of that. And so to not get stopped by, well, why would I stop there? Why would I not keep looking at each thing? Huh, what is it about that? What's stopping me from doing that? Because very likely whatever's stopping me from doing that is stopping me from doing other things in my life in completely other areas. So why wouldn't I just keep looking? Such a great process.
Right.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. We're really, and that's, you know, that kind of highlights the beauty of coaching, I think, is that, you know, I might have said something about that in passing, you know, on a coaching call, and my coach was like, huh? What? Don't you just live in the East Bay? And I'm like, yeah, but I can't come to center. I mean,
yeah, but it's just, that's too much. I mean,
So I'm really looking forward to how this is all playing out, and I seriously, I don't know, like when I open my my email to see, you know, what's new from the monastery, it's such a different experience now because, as I said before, like I shared before, the answer is yes. I know, even before I hear the question, the answer is yes. And so there's this excitement of like, what, you know, what's going to drop in store?
What are they giving to me now? You know, that's, that's really pretty brilliant. Wow. I'm trying to think of what the other applications are, but that's huge. I mean, because it really would be. It's a whole different process, isn't it? So if I'm waiting for the emails to come through from the monastery about what's coming up and sort of not, of course, realizing it, but from that stance of, well, let me see if that appeals to me. Let me see if I want to do that, which is pretty much that the conditioned way, I would guess, most of us approach almost everything that comes, you know, across our lives, our paths, in whatever way of, well, let me see if that interests me. But you already made a commitment that the answer is yes. So when those emails come in, it really is a whole different process, isn't it? It's one of, oh, what's on the docket for me next? It's almost like, you know, someone giving you job assignments, and you're, you know, you've got the role, you know you've got the role, and so you're just waiting to see what's the next job assignment, and you have no say, and, you know, actually, I don't really want that one. You just know you're going to say yes.
Right.
I mean, that really is different.
Yeah, because you're all in.
Yeah, exactly, because you're all in, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And you know, what better preparation for coming to stay at the monastery for a month? You know, talk about all in.
You've
heard other visiting monks, and you know from your own experience that there's nothing quite like, well, first of all, we always talk about there's nothing quite like being in person with Sangha, and to spend an extended stay, you know, to have an extended time like that, boy, that just takes it to a whole other level. So, yeah, practicing this process in preparation for that is just brilliant all the way around, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's definitely bigger than just, you know, what I chose to practice with at first, you know, with these things. You know, that attitude is just, I mean, it's a great attitude to just to carry with
absolutely.
Me through life.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, what would, you know, what's the kind of all in approach here? You know, what would all in look like here?
Oh, it's beautiful. I just had the image of, you know, we put our little paddles in and kind of get that first momentum moving, that willingness moving, and then whoosh, it's like it just takes on a life of its own and carries us. Beautiful. So, Jodine, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. It was very fun.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll be hearing from you all over the place and seeing you before you know it.
Okay, good. Yeah, look for me in practice on
we
every
sure
call.
Will. Exactly.
Okay.
We'll know you're there. All right. Thanks, Jodine.
Thanks.
Take good care. Okay.
You
Love
too.
Me.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jodine. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Are you all in, Sherry?
I'm all in.
Okay, good.
I'm all in, good. And I'm not done in. I'm not done in, but I'm all in.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good, I'm all in, too. I enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole notion of, okay, I'm saying yes. Now the excitement is, okay, what am I saying yes to?
Right.
It really is just a completely different orientation to life. There's none of that, I don't feel like that. No, I don't think I don't.
Yeah.
It just ends that tedious discussion.
Yes, and it can be fun to do that, you know, when another person is about to ask me something or request something and just say yes before I even know
sure.
what it is.
Yeah, that really is all in, isn't it? You know,
yes.
It's not a debate.
I'm
in. Whatever it is, give me my assignment, I'm in.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that short circuits the conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I have announcements unless you want to start us in another direction first.
No, I'm here to hear.
Excellent. Our new year-long retreat, How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything, is an opportunity to bring karmic patterns and survival mechanisms into the light of conscious, compassionate awareness so you will be free to have an authentic life experience. This retreat with Sherry starts Monday, March 5th, and includes a radio show each weekday morning.
Yes, it does.
And I think that's next Monday morning, Sherry.
I do believe that is. Yeah. No more of this lolling about time off business.
Right. Yes. Are you ready to take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine? Then the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in North Carolina, is for you. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Yep.
Yep. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. This retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Which is a very good thing to consider doing if a person hasn't already done it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Sherry and Ashwini are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 14th through 19th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and practice life's joy.
You know, the fun thing about that one, it's an amazing retreat. We could get lots of people to raise their hands who have done it, because it was the retreat for last year. But it's happening at the monastery in May. So if anybody hasn't done that retreat or hasn't been to the monastery in May, this is the one. The most beautiful place on the planet at that time of year. And so just a little encouragement for anybody who needs a little extra encouragement.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for all current awareness practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. That will put you in the queue. And a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes and is focused on one topic is great. Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico.
How are you?
Well, I'm checking in. I think it was about 3 months ago I spoke about my dental adventures.
Adventures. Adventures in dentistry.
Exactly. And I think I've had 4 appointments since I returned from the New Year's retreat, and I've had a completely different experience of going to the dentist from that retreat.
Huh.
And I had an image, and I don't know if a friend of mine helps me with my bicycle, and there's a tool called, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a master link in a bicycle chain. And there's a tool to remove that so you can shorten the chain if you need to.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes you have to do that. And so I was going to the dentist after the retreat, the New Year's retreat. And when I finished my morning sit, it's like, we are here to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. And I realized, wow, I'm causing myself to suffer. I am causing myself to suffer. And I realized, wait a second, why can't I just break the chain? Just break the chain.
Why don't I not do that?
And I did. And so I've been 4 times, and now I've reframed it. Instead of having some kind of red flags or alarm or challenge or phobias or anything, it's like, oh wow, my mouth is going to be so much happy today. I'm going to make my mouth happy.
I'm taking care of my beloved mouth.
Well, and what's also surprising is I was having some health challenges during the New Year's retreat, and I felt a little foggy. And I misunderstood some of the assignments we were doing, and so I wasn't my usual perky self, and I was wondering, well, did I get as much as I could have out of that retreat? And guess what? I did.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, 100%. Even though I guess the condition mine was evaluating my experience.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes, yes. It's always right there if there's a hope of pointing out that something has not gone well or that we have done something we shouldn't have done. Absolutely. It's right there to point it out.
And
but you didn't buy it.
No, I could really see it, and and the other part of the formula is, okay, so I've had, I think, 4 visits to the dentist that were just smooth and fun. I mean, really, I'm surprised I'm saying this, but it was kind of fun. I mean, there was pain. You know, there was like, I mean, the dentist had
yeah, discomfort.
And, but I was cracking jokes, and they were all laughing. And but I realized that it could be a setup, saying, "Well, you've licked this," and I haven't. I haven't licked it. I just brought willingness to the experience to see how I was causing myself to suffer. And it's possible in another time when I go to the dentist, I might be challenged again. And
exactly, Rico. That's right. It's not like, okay, I can just go unconscious now because this is behind me. I have this handle. That's the other side of it, right? So on the one side is, oh, God, it's going to be awful. You're not going to be able to stand it. It's going to be hideous. Okay, and then, okay, good. That's behind me. I don't have to pay attention. No, you're just going to be right there each time for the experience.
And I also saw that it was really the setup. And when we talk about karmic conditioning, I could actually see, it's almost like I was in a projection room watching the, how do they say it, when filmmakers see bits of film that they made, they
right, the rushes
like
or something.
The edit room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw that it was so clear to me that the conditioned mind was setting the track, setting the plan, setting the trap for the next beatings. That so you think you've got this licked and you're cool, holy Joe, and that's not it at all. But that's what the conditioned mind wants to make it into a triumph. And that
yes,
if it's and if it's not the same as it has been the last four times, I'm a failure and I'm a loser and I'm a blah, blah, blah.
That's right. Right. It's always working an angle, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, Rico, that's why I like Bamboozle. You know, that's the hoax, the con artist. The grifter, is that another word for that?
Exactly.
it's always working an angle, and the angle is always to our detriment. You know, so it gets on this side, it gets on the other side. Okay, well, that's great. You did a great job. You got that handled. Oh, no, it's going to be hideous. Well, you fell asleep, and now look what's happened. So
exactly.
It's like the world's worst narrator for our life.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And another event, I'm having another very gruesome surgery coming up in 4 weeks. And
Rico, could we just stop? Yeah, could we just stop here for a second and reframe that before we even get into the story? Okay, so you have another surgery coming up.
I have another surgery.
Yeah,
right. I have another surgery to go through, and I had to go through a lab test, and it was pretty alarming. The red flag, and so I'm going in for some more testing, and hopefully it's everything is going to be fine. But I notice how the conditioned mind wants to turn it into a nightmare.
Yeah,
horror story. Turned into a this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah. So 4 weeks of suffering up to an event, right? So it's not like you're going to be able to just wait for the event and see what happens. You've got to suffer through all of the time leading up to it.
Yes. And I realize I'm. How many times have I said that prayer? Six times a day for years and years and years. We are here to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. And it's like I have this image. It keeps coming back. It's like being in the editing room of a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing the setup for causing myself to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Over and over. And I realize I don't need to do that.
What?
Why would I want to do that?
No. And even if it's that karmic habit that we have of the mind going, you know, just the grisly, it's going to be a grisly surgery. You know, we have a habit of thinking that way, of saying those things. We do. Okay, good. Now we get to recognize that, and we have the ability not to do it. All that's required, all that's required is for us to be here instead of letting that habitual conversation frame our life.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
So it really is the benefit, isn't it? The only way out of it is to be present.
And it's a lot more fun.
Way more fun.
It's so much more fun. And if people see my willing this necklace, and they say, well, what's that? I said, well, I'm a Zen student. I said, well, God, isn't that like grim? Grim? Are you kidding me? It's the most fun I ever had in my life. It's really true. Wow. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're having dental adventure instead of dental misery.
Exactly.
And that you are paying attention and awakening in the process of health opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Health opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I'm so grateful for both the teachings and the willingness to meet the teachings. And it was like the first caller was saying in the interview, the pre-show, about, wow, just say yes. It's like, just say yes.
Changes everything.
This is
happening. Might as well say yes to it.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. It's like, it's going to make it not happen?
And a couple of weeks ago, I think it was you that said this on a show, yes is another word for God.
Yes, I think I was quoting Sister Phil, as a matter of fact.
It was just so inspiring, and I said, okay, yes, okay. Okay. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. I love you. Thank you, Rico.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry, so much for the show and for just showing us the way.
Oh, pleasure. Take good care of yourself. Talk to you soon, huh?
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. Sherry, I'm picturing a lot of Sangha going happily to their next dental appointment.
I'm telling you, and that idea of, you know, cracking jokes as you go along. Because, you know, a dentist office, generally speaking, is not a, you know, it's not a jokey kind of place. Because most people are not having a good time. So if you can add a little lightness to somebody's life, why not? Yeah, while they're giving you happy teeth, happy mouth.
Exactly. Great. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Bill. Can you hear
Bill?
Me?
Okay? Oh, yes, very much so. You sound good.
All right, great. Well, I've got a situation I've noticed that in the last several weeks, when I do my daily meditation, when I'm doing sitting practice, I just can't focus at all to be in the present moment. I find that I keep drifting in ways that I haven't drifted before. And I actually two-hand recorded it and said, because I was finding myself irritated by the experience. And what I got out of it was that meditation brings us to be fully present in this moment, here. And there's a lot of things going on in my life right now that I'm resisting, that I'm pushing back. And I'm trying to figure out how to cope with this, because it just seems like two-handed recordings and meditation, and it just even the mantra, we're here to drop suffering, trying to be in the present moment, just doesn't seem to remove that source of suffering.
Yes. Yes. You're exactly right. It doesn't, and it won't. It won't. Because what we can't do, at least in my experience, what does not work is to attempt to be present for our own benefit.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean by that?
I don't. Like, what do you
mean?
In
other words, well, I want to be present so that I can end my suffering. And
right.
if I can't be present and end my suffering, I'm going to get irritated.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. So we sense, it's subtle there, but we sense that ego might have gotten hold of some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you drop it?
So, well, fortunately, there's a way for us to be with that. And that is... It's kind of what we were just talking about with Rico. It's saying yes. So one of the things that I project you have seen already out of this experience is that ego will come in and say, I want to be present. I'm trying to be present. I'm not able to do it, and so I'm really irritated. Well, you don't want ego in charge of your practice, right? Because being present is an experience of humility, not asserting our will.
Right.
So what we want to do is be present to whatever is so that we can have that experience and move through that experience. So the way we talk about it, of course, is we have to encounter what we need to transcend. So everything that we're suffering over is something that we are going to get to before it's over, get to encounter so that we can transcend. That, as far as I can tell, that's what life is. It's just a constant parade of opportunities to suffer, to choose ego and to suffer. And we see them over, you know, one after the other. We see it, we realize what it is, we realize, I don't want to choose that, so I'm going to come back here to the present, over and over and over and over again. So you got to have this wonderful big view of how ego will use the language of your practice, because you do want to be present. You do, authentically, from your heart, you want to be present. But you don't want it so that ego can have what it wants.
Right.
Yeah. So you've got these situations in your life, and you're suffering over them. So these are your best opportunity to be present with the person who is suffering, see how that's happening, get to the place of not, you know, pushing away what you're pushing away or clinging to what you're clinging to. See how you're saying no, tensing up against, resisting, and that sort of thing. Two-handed exercise is great. So here's this guy. He's got, let's just pick one of them, okay? He's got this thing going on in his life, and he's really struggling with it. So you pick up the recorder, and you listen to him. He talks about what's going on, how he feels about it, how he's struggling. You get to a place of compassion for him, okay? The situation might remain, right? Rico is probably still going to have that surgery, right? Or he's going to have another dentist appointment. So the circumstances of our lives may not change, but how we are with it is what makes the whole difference. So you listen to that guy, and you can feel for him, right? You have compassion for him. It's hard. It's painful. He's struggling. He's suffering. And you embrace him in that compassion.
Right. I understand that. I understand that. It just, mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do I sense a butt?
Well, no, there should not be a but. I agree with you 100%, and it causes me to have the impulse to ask you about the undulation, because I did the undulation workshop.
I want to say something else before we go to undulation, okay?
Okay.
And it's on the same subject. So there you go. You're going to, sit down on your cushion and you're going to meditate, and your mind is just all over the place. You can't focus. You can't pay attention. You're just a mess, right? And you go to a place of, it's okay. My job is to get here as best as I can. That's my job. My job is to say yes to whatever is. That's what I'm going to do. So if I count to one through every minute of my sit, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it willingly and cheerfully and gratefully.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Good. All right, undulations.
So in the undulation, what I took away, and maybe I misunderstood it, but what I took away was, okay, so you have that trough and you have that crest experience, and you have the person who views that, and then you have an observer that's viewing the viewer that's watching these two people suffering, and we begin to realize, wow, there's a sense of who's observing, and it made me kind of trip out with the whole mentoring. I'm like, how do I know that my mentor is not ego? And
well, first of all, going down that road is we can identify that one right away. That is conditioned mind in action.
Okay.
That kind of that. Well, yeah, but how do I? Huh. Well, but okay. As you go along, obviously you have a recording and listening practice. So as you go along, you will be able to, at more and more subtle levels, sense who's who and what's what. You'll hear it. So periodically somebody will say to me, well, and I never say my mentor, because the mentor is definitely not personal, right? The mentor is kind of an idea of the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates us, right? So it's definitely not anything personal to any of us. But somebody will say to me, well, my mentor said that it's okay if I don't want to go to work, that it's fine for me to just stay home and take care of myself. Okay, well, that's nice, but I can promise you that's not the mentor. Because that's not what the mentor does. That's what ego does, right? Well, I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you have a temperature of 105. You need to get up and go to work because, okay, that's not the mentor either. So we're back to that, what we were talking about with Rico, where, it's coming in from two sides of an issue. The mentor is a mentor. It doesn't coddle us. It doesn't push us. Okay? It is wisdom and it is compassion. So it takes us to a place of clarity that is new for us in a situation.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I've often thought, as I do the two-handed recording, that mentor is not coddling. It's not.
No.
But when I listen to the mentor, sometimes it comes across not harsh, not mean, but firm, like
clear. Yeah.
And so it's not harsh. It's just, hey, this is what's going on. And it's like,
that's right. And so let's say I'm your mentor, right? And you say, well, Jerry, it's really hard. And I'm going to say, knock it off. Knock it off. Right? Because what the mentor knows is the difference between who you are authentically and ego. So the mentor isn't ever confused about when you're being scammed by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It's just not. And so there's no, the coddling is, well, I know you're inadequate. Okay, I do. I understand there's something wrong with you. But, you know, you're really trying. So, you know, that's not unconditional love. Nor is being mean. Well, just buck up, buddy. You know, everybody's got problems, and so do you. No, it's not either one of those. It's a wisdom and compassion that knows authenticity and the adequacy of authenticity.
Yes. Yes.
So it's support, right? It's support and encouragement. It's clarity.
Yes.
And as you go along, as you record and listen more, you'll get to the point where you just absolutely cannot be fooled. No matter what ego is trying to run on you, you cannot be fooled because you know at that point, intuitively, not in a, you know, you're not going to write a whatever. You know, you're not going to say this is this and that is that and I know that and blah, blah, because now we've slipped back over into ego land, right? But intuitively, you just sense, I don't think so. It doesn't sound like wisdom and compassion to me.
Well, thank you. Wow. Thank you for sharing.
You're so welcome.
Anyhow, the point is, Sherry, thank you so much. You really explained the mentor to me, and it echoes a lot of what my experience has been, and that's been very affirming. So thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Anytime. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bill. And Sherry, yeah, that was great. That exploration of the mentor and what it is and what it isn't, really helpful.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's the kind of thing, we all know the experience. We just don't trust ourselves with it, usually because we're getting information inside that goes, well, yeah, how do you know that? And what if it's not? But, you know, when you hear somebody speak, and there's just, not judgmentally, but there's just this intuitive sense that that's off kilter somehow.
Yep.
Or you hear somebody speak, and there's a sense of, yes. One of the places that I think we were just talking about this, as a matter of fact, where people have that experience is with quotes. You know, you come across a quote and everything in you just starts vibrating, right? With yes, yes. And it's not that the yes is for the content. It's that the yes is for the process, the wisdom place that the person who wrote that, they were reporting on an experience and they take us right to that experience. And then you read something else and you think, close, but not quite there. And we intuitively sense that difference. And we do the same thing with ourselves, with the mentor, and with ego. When we first start out with practice, we can't tell when we are identified with ego, let alone when anything else is talking to us from ego. Right?
Yeah.
But it all gets clear as we practice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back in a few minutes.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Andrew from North Carolina. Can you hear me?
Yes, Andrew.
Yes.
Loud
Hi,
and
Andrew.
Clear. Perfect.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I've been in some suffering about an issue, and someone suggested calling in, and looks like it was a good night to call in. So I've been noticing a pattern of wanting to take a break from work and watching videos that I'm uncomfortable with the violent content and kind of weirded out by how I keep turning to this dark side of the internet, you know, of these, you know, just the stuff from action movies about fighting and shooting and all of this stuff, and I'm thinking, I don't really want to see this stuff. I don't know that I feel rested afterwards. I feel tense, but very confused. I've been looking at the place of video in my life for years, and I've always been confused. I mean, I think sometimes I had some clarity, but kind of in this a big conversation. I don't have a ton of practice with all of this, but definitely seeing some back and forth of you should, you shouldn't, you should, you shouldn't, and things like that. Trying to get out of the content into the process.
Yep. There you go. Well, you've said a lot that puts you in good stead already. So, let me ask you this. Since I would otherwise be projecting and assuming. I am guessing that violent and upset is not how you want to feel.
I think that's a safe bet.
Okay.
Seems true.
I did that, Andrew. That was stealth, wasn't it? I slipped right in there and intuited all that. Yeah. So, but, you know, just to get it out in the open that that's the case, because if we don't get really clear about what is so for us, that conversation in the head has a lot more power over us.
Okay? Yeah.
So, So if, for instance, you could know that you don't want to feel that way, and yet you could still be drawn to watching films with that content.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those could be true. You could want to watch those, but not want to feel the way you feel. In the same way that you might want to drink alcohol, but you don't like the way you feel when you do or after you do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People will get there with a lot of things, sugar, for instance, or coffee, or anything that can be something that we're drawn to, we want to do, but we don't like what it does to us.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to that point of making that, having that clear realization for ourselves is very helpful. Okay? So one of the things that you said early on that is really powerful, and that is, that you notice how you're feeling. You watch whatever it is that, you know, the voices are encouraging you to watch. Mm-hmm. And you notice how you feel, which it sounds like you have done a fair amount of. Mm-hmm. Right? You know how you feel before you watch it. You know how you feel after you watch it. You know you don't like how you feel after you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Is this all true so far?
Yeah. I tend to get pretty confused about even just my experience of it before too long. But in general, I think there have definitely been a lot of moments that, yeah, it's been just like that.
Well, and you could take it on as an experiment, right? As a workshop for yourself. So if the voices want to say, well, yeah, but you don't always feel that way. So then you just take it on as a scientific project. You know, you sit there, you're breathing, you're paying attention. How does my body feel? How's my heart rate? How's the adrenaline? How's everything doing? Watch it, turn it off. Check in. You know, what are the thoughts like? What are the emotions? Oh, you know, all of that. And you just do that until you feel clear within yourself about what is true for you. Because there's a big difference between what's true for you and what the voices in your head are very likely to be talking to you about.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So the good part about that, and I hope you'll call me back after you do the experiment, but the good part about that is that when we get clear like that, we're in a very different relationship with those voices. So if it's, I like a couple of glasses of scotch at night. You know, it just relaxes me. End of a hard day, I just really enjoy it. That's the story, okay? But then time goes by and I realize, you know, I'm not sleeping that well. And I don't feel that good in the morning. I'm kind of fuzzy. You know what? After a while it drops in. Maybe it's the scotch, okay? And so I do the experiment that I just described to you, and son of a gun, that's it. You know, I don't drink it for a week. And I sleep better, I feel better in the morning. Okay, all right, good. So I know that's what's causing it. And now it's the relationship with the voices in my head. Because at night, they really want to talk to me about drinking scotch. Because it's my habit, right? I've done it forever. And
totally.
It's a tool that can be used against me. It makes me feel bad, and it's also proof that those voices in my head can control me.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it really comes down to. So if I'm the voice in your head, my role in your life is to prove to you that I can make you do anything I want you to do. Which sounds creepy and paranoid, but if we watch it for a while, we realize that's exactly what's happening.
Holy, that's a lot of...
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, that's a lot of why I'm in practice, is that I hate... I mean, it's very clear. There's a lot of things that my head controls me on, and I don't particularly like being controlled by anything, so...
That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the place that we get to. Now we're kind of where Bill was, right? So there you are. Anyway, I'll connect that up, but... there you are, and you realize that, okay, I'm not going to watch those videos simply because I refuse to be controlled by a voice in my head. So there's that element. And that ends the should I, shouldn't I? It ends the, well, you know you want to. No, I don't want to. Well, but just this once you can, okay? Because what I can say, if we go back to the scotch, I can say with great clarity, yeah, I want to drink scotch. Yes, that's not the point. Yes, of course I do. I don't want to feel the way I feel when I do, and so I'm not going to. Do you see the subtlety in that?
I think so.
Yeah, because if the debate is about whether or not I want to,
first. Yeah, I know. That's where I've been over and over and over. And I can report to anybody listening. It does. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Because I can't deny it. When the voice says, you know you want to, now I do. And that defeats me, you see? So all my resolve goes away because it is true. Mm. I do want to. I'm weak and I'm spineless. And even though it's not good for me, it's what I want. So I might as well drink it because it's all true. So if I take that stand of, yes, we're not debating whether or not I want to, you know, suddenly if all of the ramifications disappeared, you know, I'd be right back there drinking scotch. But the fact of the matter is, it's not good for me. I don't feel well. I don't want to feel the way I feel when I drink scotch. And I don't want that feeling more than I want the scotch. And that's where my choice is coming from. And, that, you know, Andrew, since we don't, this practice is not about making contests, right? So very often what happens with people is, so I stop drinking scotch, and then whatever period of time later, I magically forget. I forget, and I get talked into it because it sounds so good, and it would be fun, and it would be really relaxing. And then the voices want to beat us up for, but you said you weren't going to do it, and see, and there's the proof again. I can make you do something that you committed to not doing. And that's where we say, now I remember why I didn't do it. Thanks. Good workshop. Yeah. So no contest, no self-hate. Just really getting to that place of making a choice from our heart about what we want for the human being.
Right, which is different from, you know, however much time goes by, I forget the thought, I want to. Sometimes it's gotten into, if I go ahead, you know, that's me proving that I'm in control, when really there's a story that I may not be seeing, and there's a denial of my experience that I had never looked at until, you know, this is really helping a lot, that yeah, I do want to, and I don't.
That's right.
I've never really held that paradox together.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, the world is full of stuff that we want to do, right? And the contest with ego is, if you want to do that, that makes you a bad person. And no, it doesn't. You know, if everything were equal, you know, we live out on an island in the South Pacific before anybody came along to tell us that there was such a thing as right and wrong, right? Mm. We just lived as we lived, and there's no guilt, and there's no shoulds, and there's none of these other things, right? So, yeah, but that's not the world we live in, right? So the point is not whether or not we want these things. You know, I don't always want to go to work. Do you?
No.
Yeah, but we go. And yeah. So it doesn't make us a bad person because, you know, we think about this or we'd like to do that or whatever. And it's that perspective that ego gets us in that is the cause of suffering. If you were the right person, you would make all the right choices because they would be the things you want to do. No, that's not how it is.
Oh. It almost tricked me on what you were saying. Like, yeah, I should want to not watch because that's the right thing. But yeah, I think I see it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I just don't want to pay the price for it. Right? So, to use another example, you know, you're married or you're in a committed relationship and you agreed that you're going to be faithful to your partner. Well, it doesn't mean you're not going to notice other people are attractive.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you might not think about somebody else, a little fantasy here or there, right? But that's the kind of stuff that's used against us. And if we can say, now we are back to Bill in the meditation. You know, I really want to be present. I do. I want to be able to direct attention. I want to be here and I want to be present. It's not happening right now. But that doesn't change the deepest desire of my heart. And so I'm going to make choices. I'm going to sit here and meditate, even though the voices are screaming, this is a lousy meditation. I'm going to stay faithful to the person that I've said I'm going to be faithful to. I'm not going to, whatever it is, because those are my choices. And I don't need to have a discussion about my choices. And that is how we actually, if there were anything called control for a human being, that's where we have it.
That sounds really good. I think I'm going to go with that.
All right. You're going to practice and you're going to let us know, right?
Yes. All Thanks.
Right. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. Sherry, that was an extraordinary conversation. I felt like you and Andrew just kind of laid it out about what addiction is and how it works. And to me, the beauty of it, of course, is removing self-hate from the whole thing, which gives us an opportunity to actually see what's going on.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that self-hate element is the killer, isn't it?
Yeah,
because otherwise we're just trying to see our way clear to do what the heart is guiding us to do. And we're seeing everything that we struggle with in that process. But it's not a contest. As far as I can tell, you know, there's nothing except that negative voice in the head that is judging us or putting these rules on us and beating us up for failure and having backslid or whatever the heck is going on. And again, it's not sliding over into, so I'm doing my best, and so anything, I can, you know, whatever. No, they're not saying that. Of course I'm doing my best. And of course I'm going to get bamboozled, and of course I'm going to get back up again and do my best again with compassion, with loving kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Recommitting and recommitting and recommitting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Moment by moment by moment by moment.
Yes. And Sherry, we are 3 minutes from the top of the hour here.
Well, I think we better just say we've done our best. You know what's going to happen if we get started talking. You know me. You know, it'll be a quarter after, and then I'm late for meditation, and so thank you, Michael. I so appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
All right. Good night.